Our scripture reading this morning, if you can turn in your Bibles, is to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 1 to 20. Please follow along in your Bibles or on the screen behind me as we look to the reading of God's Word and revisit the birth of Jesus as told by Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, and praise God already for what we have been able to hear and see on this Sunday morning worship service. Have you been encouraged already in your faith? I know I have. And praise God that we can gather together only days now away from celebrating the birth of Christ. The light around our Advent wreath is getting better, brighter, and we have only one candle to go, and that's exciting. This morning, I would like to take you back to the story of Christ's birth and some very important lessons that we learn around it that can help us in our commitment to living for Jesus today and tomorrow, and for the days that the Lord gives us here on earth. Now, from the account of Christ's birth, I want to talk to you about four M's. Not M&Ms, four M's. Don't think about food until after the service, please. The message of Christmas, the meeting at Christmas, the mission of Christmas, and the movement of Christmas. And I pray that after this morning and when you leave, you'll be inspired by the Holy Spirit and challenged by the Holy Spirit in your walk with the Lord as it relates to these four words. First of all, the message of Christmas. And at this time of the year, perhaps you've already received one or two Christmas cards, or even glanced at some in the wherever you shop for cards. And it's incredible, all the different messages that are on those cards. Some funny, some endearing, and some very, very encouraging messages out there. Some I've come across already this year, some cards that I've opened and read have said, for one, "I put so much thought into your gift that I never got around to actually buying it. Merry Christmas." That's a good one. Or else, "I once bought my kids a set of batteries for Christmas with a note on it saying, 'Toys not included.'" That's just terrible. Or this one, "Christmas is a time for remembering family and trying to guess everyone's sizes. Have a wonderful Christmas." Nobody struggles with that, right? What size should I get? Now, for many, again, just reading the Christmas cards that are in our world today, perhaps some that you've received, for many, Christmas is a very worldly event. There's nothing very spiritual at all about it. There's all the expressions of celebrating with food and drinking, being with family and friends, buying and giving presents. And some of this is good in moderation. But that's all that, for many, Christmas is all about. There's no spiritual connection at all. But that is sad, because that's not the reason for the season. You know, all the worldliness around us, we even ourselves as Christians have to push away those distractions to focus on the Savior of the world. Very simply, the message of Christmas is about Jesus. And the most recent card that I received truly captured that message of Christmas, for it said at the beginning on the front page, "The Word became flesh." John 1, verse 14. And so very simply, that is the message of Christmas. Because of God's love for you and for me, he sent his Son to make a way for us to be saved from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin. As the angels declared in Luke chapter 2, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this was and is the good news of great joy for all people for all time. Jesus came to save us from our sins. And he came to do it what only God could do, to save us. Now, the angels didn't say a president or prime minister has been born. The angels didn't say a dentist or a psychologist, a scientist or an astronaut has been born to you this day, but a savior, because we are all in need of saving, each one of us, myself, you, everyone in Campbellford, everyone in Canada is in need of a savior. As the angels told Joseph in Matthew 1, "You shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." There is no other way for us to be right with God, our Maker, our Creator, our Sustainer, and deal with the problem of sin that separates us from a holy and just God. Jesus is the only way. As author C.S. Lewis said, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." Now, in a year when we have been told much about what is essential and what is non-essential, the Word of God is very clear. The essential message of Christmas is the gospel message. It's about the greatest gift of all time given to mankind. God gave us Jesus Christ, his Son, who brings great joy to everyone who receives him. Christmas is a season where we focus on the Savior of the world, not the things of this world. And if you've listened to every carol that we've sung this morning and every worship song that we've sang, that's been what they all have in common: Jesus, who came to save. His birth brought great joy to the world. Just think of all those characters in the Christmas story: the shepherds, the wise men, the angels. They all shared in the excitement of knowing about this great event. Now, every week when I'm in our church, part of a small group, prayer group, what I'm reminded of every single week is that we are all in need of encouragement. Every single person in this building right now needs encouragement on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. And for many people, even Christmas time is not an easy time. There's sorrow, there's pain. We know just in our own church family, this is going to be a hard Christmas for some families because of what's happened this year. Yet, beyond all that, Christmas can be a season of great hope, great joy, great faith. It is a time of God showing his great love for us, and that he's not against us, he is for us. And as followers of Jesus Christ, let us be a voice of encouragement, reminding people with the message of Christmas that they are not alone, but that they are loved. And that because of Jesus, there is hope, and there is peace, and there is faith, and there is love. So will you give the gift of encouragement, that message, either on a phone or a text or put in the mail, saying to your friends and family, God is with you. God will help you. God will strengthen you. Turn to him. So we can share this most wonderful message, this wonderful gift of Jesus, so that others may experience the great joy of salvation. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you'd like to know and experience that great joy, you can receive that gift of salvation even right now. Wherever you're listening and hearing this message, join in the celebration of Christmas, and it's this simple. First, Admit that you are a sinner. Admit that you are a sinner in need of being saved. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you from sin and death and give you eternal life. Recognize that your sin before God and that you need him to save you, and let him help you turn from your old life to a new life in Christ. And this can be done as you receive by faith in Jesus Christ this free, yes, free gift of salvation. This is the gospel message, the message of Christmas, which is essential to your Christian faith. How wonderful it would be if that this Christmas you decided to trust in Jesus as your Savior. And so that's the first M, the message of Christmas. The second M is the meaning of Christmas. And if there is one thing that this year, this pandemic has revealed, is that it is in our human nature to be together, not apart. God created us for community. We all need connection with someone, someone to talk to, someone to hold, someone to serve, someone to pray with, someone to make eye contact with even. It's something, but we need that connection. Someone to laugh with, someone to cry with. We could go on about how God created us for one another. On the night that Jesus was born, it wasn't just Mary and Joseph and Jesus. It became a gathering. Not long after the birth of Christ, shepherds joined in this celebration. And then when they went to tell others, more townsfolk that heard gathered because they were amazed. And what do small town folk do when something amazing is going on? You want to be there. You want to be part of that. There was a gathering of people around Jesus the night he was born. And what do we learn from this small detail? Well, Jesus brings people together. He has this morning, praise the Lord. And just look at the 12 disciples. Here was a group of men who had no reason to be together. They all came from very diverse backgrounds. Among them were fishermen, a tax collector, personalities all across the board. Some of these men were young and some were old. Some were bold and some were quiet. They had little in common, except what? They were followers of Jesus Christ. And that is what brought them together. And over 2,000 years later, Jesus continues to bring people together. We are gathered here this morning because we serve a risen Savior who is in our world today, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So let us remember this Christmas how important it is to gather together because of Jesus, to meet for prayer, for worship, for Bible study, for baptism, for accountability, for correction, for service. This is what the body of Christ does. But we have to seek him together and see him together at work in our children's lives and in each other's lives. The gospel and all of Scripture, for that matter, reinforces the truth that we were created for community. God created us not to be isolated beings, but rather people who live life with others. And the primary way that we as Christians live in community is by belonging to the church. And Jesus' life, his example, his teaching teaches us to serve one another and to support one another, to sacrifice for one another, and also to stand together for one another. And more now today than ever does the Church of Jesus Christ need to stand up with one voice on so many issues and say, this is what the Bible says and this is what we believe and this is where we stand. Just we could all list, I'm sure, a number of issues that the church needs to be more vocal about where we stand when it comes to God's word. It is biblical to meet together. It's biblical to share God's word together. Acts 1 verse 14 says, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer. In Acts 2, verse 42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Acts 5, 42. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26 says, when you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues, and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. I love how God has given us church where we can edify and build up each other. And Hebrews 10, verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So living through a pandemic or not, if you remove yourself from Christian fellowship, my own personal experience, your faith will grow cold. Just think about what happens when you remove a log from a fire. It grows cold. So what does this meeting at Christmas remind us? Very simply, community is opportunity. Remember it that way. It's opportunity for fellowship. It becomes an avenue for us to love and serve others, even those outside the church. Yes, meeting together is essential to our faith. The third M is the mission of Christmas. The mission. So we have the message, and we have the meeting, we have the mission. German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, at this Christmas, and when Christ comes, will he find a warm heart? Mark the season of Advent by loving and serving the others with God's own love and concern. You know, the Bible is very clear about the mission of Jesus. The mission of Christmas starts with this: Jesus gave his life for you and for me. His mission from the beginning was a rescue mission, and Bethlehem was just the beginning of that mission. Jesus grew to be a man. He grew to become the sacrifice of your sins and mine. And he did it willingly. He did it on purpose. And he was thinking of you and me when he did it. The birth at Bethlehem was just the beginning of his work, his mission on earth. And as Pastor Lionel preached last Sunday, you can't separate Bethlehem from Jerusalem. All of his life, Jesus was leading to the time when he would hang on a cross, shedding his blood, his body torn to rags as he listened to people mock him and gamble for his clothes. There is a hymn that we sang that says, "For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and life he freely gives." Have you received this free gift of salvation in Christ our Lord? And folks, we really need to get a grasp on the fact that this was the plan from the very beginning. Jesus left heaven so he could die, so that we could live forever with him in heaven one day. And before he left, he had these words of mission for his followers then and for us today. From Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And in Acts 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." What very clear words of mission that Jesus has given his followers. The mission Jesus started is your mission as well. So make no mistake about it. Christians are sent. Just think of the word sent. Jesus prays to his Father in John 17, verse 18, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." And that "them" is the church, followers of Jesus Christ. And so in identifying with Jesus, we are not only not of this world, but we are then also sent right back into it on a saving mission, carrying on what Jesus started. We are sent as his ambassadors, his representatives of the one born in Bethlehem and crucified at Calvary. We are sent to announce with all that we are, with mouth, with mind, with heart and hands, that the Father sent the Son. So will you be on mission for Jesus today and for the rest of your life? It is essential to your Christian faith. And lastly, the movement at Christmas, and this word really kind of follows the word mission. I believe that in our walk with the Lord as Christians, the Holy Spirit is always leading us. He is leading you. He is leading you today if you know him as Savior and Lord. God has called us to an active faith, not, well, what's the opposite of active, right? I would put the word sitting, doing nothing. Obedience to God requires faith, active faith. And when you give Jesus your life, he puts a passion in your heart to reach others for him. And sometimes the Holy Spirit might even nudge you, and perhaps you know this experience. He nudges you to go somewhere, to see someone, to do something for Christ. It could be a visit. It could be going to a worship service. It could be perhaps even having to move to a new community to serve him. Whatever it is, have an act of faith. When I read about Christ's birth in the Gospels, one thing is clear. God had people moving around. Joseph and Mary had to move from Nazareth to Bethlehem. This is where God was leading them. The shepherds had to leave the sheep behind and travel to where Jesus was born, for the angels told them this great event that is for all people. That included them, and they left to find where Jesus was. And of course, how can we not forget about the wise men? They probably traveled the most when we think about who went and saw Jesus at this time of the year. There was great movement surrounding the birth of Christ. And as they were told by God, they went, they obeyed. And this small detail reminds us that the Christian life is a life of movement, of activity. God led these people to where he wanted them to be, and they went. They got up, and they were on the go. You know, in Acts chapter 17, verse 24, Paul teaches how God is our creator and our sustainer. And in his one speech, he says, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. So our life, because of Christ, is about living and moving in him. And he sustains us. And the closer that we draw to God, the more we will find our lives being lived out and moved by his influence to those around us. You know, when you read through scripture, you see time and time again people obeying God's word and moving where he wants them. God told Abraham, leave your country, leave your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. And Abraham obeyed. God told Moses in Exodus 2, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. And Moses obeyed. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach against it. Unfortunately, Jonah disobeyed. In Matthew 4, Jesus approached two brothers and said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets and followed Jesus. Time and time again, we learn in Scripture that obedience to God requires faith, active faith. Mary and Joseph got up. The shepherds got up. The wise men got up. Will you get up and go where Jesus is leading you? Don't delay, especially when you know that he is calling you to a certain assignment, mission, or ministry. Don't delay. And as we come to the end, you know, today we lit the candle of love. We are led by God's love to love one another, to help, to serve, to share, and to encourage. And there's no doubt in my mind, for every believer, God wants to use your life to advance his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So with an act of faith, let's be prayerful. With an act of faith, let's be resourceful. Let's not give up on people. Let's see them the way God sees us all. Let's have a get up and go faith that carries our family and friends to Jesus. Now, with a couple more days to go, let us then be inspired and awakened in our faith by the message of Christmas, the meeting at Christmas, the mission of Christmas, and the movement at Christmas. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can gather to celebrate that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And Lord, for those struggling this morning in their faith, Lord, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, lift them up, encourage them, set a fire in their hearts, Lord, to spread the good news that Jesus is the light of the world and that because of Jesus, we have hope and we have purpose, we have power, we have peace. And God, we thank you so much today for your presence in our lives and how you're working in us to help us to become more like Christ. Lord, thank you for your love for us, this gift of love that we celebrate and recognize today. And Lord, use us, we pray. Lord, we just again look to you to lead us and guide us and help us to follow you with obedience and with faith as we continue to, Lord, look to you to grow in our faith closer to you, but also in helping our community know about who you are and the difference that you make in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.